turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, everyone. I'm Cameron Caskey.
I'm Tim Miller.
And this is the FY Pod. Trying to get to the bottom of Gen Z, right as we are also at the bottom of the barrel for the country. So this week we've got some exciting topics. Tim and I are going to talk about the fascist stuff that the fascists are doing. We're going to talk about Gen Z getting dumber and less literate. And it'll be a great time. Just so you all know, we are splitting our episodes in half. So our interview segment's going to be coming out on the weekends. And this is going to be just a shorter me and Tim going over the news.
That's good, right? I feel like the weekends, people need some weekend content. I feel like I need some weekend content. Then we can let it loose. You know, we can go Joe Rogan length if we want to with your 23-year-old buddies. And
I'm always comparing us to Joe Rogan. So
I just think that we can vibe out a little bit more on the weekends, you know, feel less necessary to have to discuss the Alien Enemies Act in a tight five, you know?
Well, I thought the Alien Enemies Act was a Marvel thing until I learned about it this week. And it turns out there's something that's actually called the Alien Enemies Act. You know, I used to think that there was proof of aliens until Trump became president. And I said, you know what? If there was proof that there were aliens, he would have probably tweeted it by now.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too.
Unlike the Epstein list that that clearly all of his friends are on. But this week, we are seeing hundreds of men deported. No due process, no hearings. Not quite clear how the White House is determining that they are part of these gangs that they say they're part of. They're allegedly identifying people's tattoos as gang tattoos, even if they aren't. And we've invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, a year that Trump is desperately trying to drag us back to, which was last used for the Japanese internment camps. Tim, how are you feeling about this?
I was anti-Japanese internment camp. You know, it's funny. I saw my man Michael Shearer was asking, said he asked Trump where he was at on the Japanese internment camp during the campaign in 2015. And Trump basically said, like, well, you know, I don't know. Hard to give a view on that. If I was there at the time, maybe I would have been for it. So he was kind of a soft pro on the Japanese internment camps in the 2016 campaign. And you know, we've kind of evolved into using it as a model now. I did a fucking big ass rant with Bill Kristol today. Like the idea that they took a gay Venezuelan like tattoo artist and they fucking put him with no due process, put him on a plane with a bunch of gangsters, said he's trend to Aragua, and like now sent him to a El Salvador and penal colony that looks like it's out of fucking a dystopian RoboCop, like futuristic hellscape. It is very maddening to me and upsetting to me. And so I've already kind of yelled about that today. So I'm kind of curious where like your level of rage is. And if you kind of look at that story and what we're doing with Makun Khalil and some of the other examples that are out there.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Sure, here's what's annoying me. So we've also got Mahmoud Khalil, a lawful permanent resident who got disappeared by a dude in an Avengers t-shirt.
Video is so insane. The dude in the Avengers t-shirt. Can you imagine a fat guy in an Avengers t-shirt coming to your house and being like, you have to get in this van? Like, that's what happened.
Yeah, like an unmarked vehicle. And here's what I'm confused by. Here's what's kind of bothering me. Okay. In obviously the world of conservatives, but also the world of liberals who see eye to eye with me on a lot of things. I don't understand why everybody is so trepidatious to talk about how similar this is to prior fascist regimes. What they're doing with immigrants, what they're doing with free speech, it all kind of reminds me of our old enemies, the Nazis. And I'm wondering why everybody's like, oh no, it's not the Nazis. You know, the what do we need to get everybody to say this is a Nazi-esque fascist regime? It's almost like they're going up there and doing Hitler salutes. Wait a second, they are two of the president's biggest and most prolific puppeteers, Elon Musk and Steve Bannon. Other than Roy Cohn, the infamous Roy Cohn, for whom Jeremy Strong very much deserved an Oscar. They're Trump's puppeteers. They're the people who pull his strings, and they are doing Hitler salutes. So yeah. Sure, there aren't, you know, I mean, there aren't full blown Auschwitz-esque concentration camps quite yet, but you know, all the stuff that led up to those camps is happening on like fast forward right now. So I'm wondering why everybody's like, no, we can't call it that.
I can field that one for you. I think part of it is that people are worried that it's not effective, that like people tune out Nazi stuff, and that like it feels like overwrought or hyperventilating. And so looking for other ways to express a similar point. I take your point. I kind of thought the way that Bill Burr handled it was funny. I think handling it with a little bit of dark humor is pretty good. He was just like, I mean, he accidentally did two seagulls. You know, I kind of liked the way that he handled it. But I don't know, man. My question that is similar to that, in the category of why aren't people doing more things, or why aren't people doing things the way I would like them to do? I don't understand why, like, we've seen, there were some protests of Tom Homan in New York. There have been a couple of college protests about the ongoing effort in Gaza. And there have been some protests about what's happening with ICE. But, like, I don't know, man. School is open, right? Like, it's March 17th. Like, college is open. Like, why aren't the campuses freaking the fuck out about the fact that they're, like, deporting professors, deporting other campus protesters? They're disappearing these people. I mean, it is... It seems like the type of thing that would yield, you know, kind of a lefty uprising. And that feels a little, I don't know, you know, it just feels like it's not, like the intensity isn't there on this. What do you make of that?
I think under the Biden administration, even though they were sort of doing this kind of inflammatory speak about the protesters, there was still this idea that if you were protesting, you wouldn't get necessarily disappeared. But under the Trump regime, I don't understand why somebody would feel compelled to protest like that.
You think people are scared?
They're disappearing people. I think there's two major factors. Number one, we are any day now, the cops can just fire on people under Trump. There's no rules anymore. You could say that that's inflammatory, whatever. If I had said Trump's administration would have started disappearing peaceful protesters, if I had said that 3 weeks ago, people would say it was inflammatory. So say whatever you will, but if I were a student protester right now, I would feel scared for my safety. I mean, the NYPD was already roughing these kids up for like breaking a window at some library earlier last year. And of course, the government is going to call every protester that has anything to say about the state of Israel pro-Hamas. That's the first thing they're going to say. They're going to say they're pro-Hamas. It's something that my community is really a big fan of. If anybody has any questions about Netanyahu, who, by the way, hundreds of thousands of people were protesting in the state of Israel before October 7th. Any questions you have about Netanyahu, any questions you have about his criminal investigations, it's pro-Hamas. Anything you have to say about the United States spending all this money in Israel, it's pro-Hamas. You're anti-Semitic. The hundreds of thousands of Israeli people who were protesting Netanyahu, turns out they were also anti-Semitic.
I mean, it seems like Mahmoud Khalil was pretty close to being pro-Hamas.
From what?
I mean, like the many of the CUAD campus protests that he was organizing, like, were cheering what happened.
Okay,
October
7th? Here is my message to everybody talking about the anti-Semitism at the campus protests. I've seen videos of students saying abhorrent things, and if I were a Jewish student at one of these schools, I would totally feel unsafe. But let's be clear about one thing: if you took a recorder, if you took a secret camera to the campus protests and you were looking for anti-Semitism, you would find less anti-Semitism at the campus protests than you would at any given Big Ten frat house. I guarantee you, at these Southern state schools, you are going to hear much worse shit about the Jews than you are from any Columbia kids. So
the SEC is the Southern schools. But I hear you on that. I will say this, though. You famously, maybe not for some of the viewers who are new to FY Pod, but, you know, created March for Our Lives in your bedroom, your childhood bedroom. And so, you know, you organize these things. You are familiar with them. If you had a big March for Our Lives protest, you had, like, you know, I don't know, 20 people holding up signs that were like, you know, shoot Rick Scott. like death to Rick Scott, kill Rick Scott. Like you probably would have been like, guys, maybe we should like chill out on some of the signs. You know, you do have some, as an organizer, you do have some kind of responsibility.
Totally. No. I think that March for Our Lives had a very different situation going for it, which is the big media conglomerates decided that we were a moneymaker for them. So they were on our side, right? Yeah. The media conglomerates that are owned by people who are not bleeding heart activists who want the world to be a better place. They're owned by people who want to make money. They saw March for Our Lives as a valuable part of the media narrative in 2018. So they boosted us and they supported us and they only showed the best of what we were doing. They weren't looking for inflammatory language, of which there was plenty, and stuff that we disavowed. They were looking for a way to characterize us as a form of hope, or as some people call it, hopium, so the American people could feel like we still had a voice. These media conglomerates are not on the side of the student protesters that had something to say about Israel, so they only looked for the worst. March for Our Lives, we had a boost in the media. They wanted us to be the best kids in the world. They wanted us to be their little poster boys. They don't want to show student protesters talking about Israel who are totally supportive of the safety and health of the Jewish people. They want to show the people who they can use to string up this narrative of pro-Hamas, like those hundreds of thousands of Israelis who are protesting Netanyahu. I call bullshit. I think that this is all part of a media thing. And look, back to what I was saying, Mahmoud Khalil getting disappeared is a message to protesters that you do not have a First Amendment under Trump. Not unlike, by the way, the fascist regimes that I get called inflammatory for comparing him to. The other thing that I think is preventing campus protests against Trump and Elon is there's too much shit to protest, right? I think that people like Bernie Sanders and Tim Walz and Ro Khanna even, who are going out and doing these rallies and town halls, they have found one message, which is stand up against oligarchy. And that's where we can then go on to talk about different things and expand the breadth of the issues that we're discussing. But in general, if I was a student protester right now and I had like a menu of shit to protest, I mean, there's the deportations, there's the disappearing of people who are protected by the First Amendment, because as many people know, whether or not you're on Mahmoud Khalil's side, the speech that's the most important to defend is the speech you hate the most. It's called free speech. So if I were a student right now, I wouldn't know which of the fucking things to be protesting.
I think both those things make sense. I think people are a little scared. And I think that there is also, they're just overwhelmed by what to protest and kind of feeling confused, waiting to find their footing, waiting to find something to galvanize around. Like something really horrible is going to happen, have to happen, I think, to galvanize around. I keep thinking like, was this thing horrible enough? Is sending maybe innocent Venezuelans to fucking El Salvador and death camps horrible enough? Maybe not. I mean, it needs something to be even more horrible. The other thing about this I wanted to pick your brain on, because I do think that your generation is just like each successive generation is just a little bit more global than the last one, just like because of ability to travel, you know, ability to communicate across countries. Like everything has just gotten easier over time. Like summer abroad was still like a kind of a big deal when I was in college. And I kind of feel like people with resources, like upper middle class, an upper class, like young folks just like go abroad all the time now. And so I bring that up because, and I also think campuses are more diverse and have more people from other countries now. I bring that up because like the people who are being targeted first here, like it's the very first row is the pro Hamas protesters. the next group is basically anybody on a visa, right? Like people who are on a student visa, work visa. And I just think that like you and your friends like probably know a lot more people on visas, and like it's got to like create some fear that has to add to the fear and the chilling effect of all this, right? Like if you look at what happened over this weekend, a lot of people got targeted in airports who like really didn't do anything, like they had passed marijuana crimes or whatever, like they and I think that's got to be fucking scary to people. So I don't know, I'm wondering if you're hearing any chatter about that.
There's no freedom under this administration. If you think that you're safe, you might be safe for now. You're not going to be safe for long. And I think that there's messaging missing from the Democrats right now while we are all understandably eating each other alive. You know, I haven't seen leaders in the Democratic Party saying, Peter Thiel and a cabal of venture capitalist fascists decided that the American experiment is over, America loses, and it's time now to use dark money to dismantle these United States and hand them over to tech companies in something called techno-feudalism. I mean, Thiel has literally said that this is going to happen and installed his own vice president. So while we're all terrified of protesting, while we're all terrified of using our First Amendment and of people who are here legally getting deported, the tech companies love this. They love that we are all too scared to ask questions about what's going on. I mean, not that many people really know about Peter Thiel. Not that many people know about Peter Thiel's agenda, which he wears on his sleeve, kind of like a red armband. And we are now entering a phase where venture capitalist fascists are using crypto to fuck us all over while we are all targeting each other because Chuck Schumer kind of let Trump win. So while everybody's scared, while everybody isn't protesting, the VC guys are laughing up their fucking sleeves and nobody's calling it out.
So your truth is just like, Tim wants to talk about anything he wants to talk about, and I'm just going to fucking rant about Peter Thiel and how he wants to steal Twink's blood for his like weird vampiric techno-feudalist cult that he's running of HGH blonde post-Twinks that work for him at Palantir. And like, I'm just going to rant about that. I don't care if we're supposed to talk about visas. I don't care if we're supposed to talk about the lady in Wisconsin who has been detained in Texas, even though she is married to an American citizen who voted for Trump. We're not going to talk about that. We're just going to fucking rant about Peter Thiel today. Is that basically what you came prepared to do?
Well, we do this once a week. Every week, there's a lot of news, and we're trying to keep this less than 30. So while I really don't know much about visas, other than these people who are getting deported are not getting a fair trial. They're not getting treated by the United States government the way that we're supposed to treat people. I am going to go on tangents because I have ADHD and I need to cover the shit that happened this week.
Perfect.
Including techno-feudalism.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just clicks. Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have much more to talk about Peter Thiel. He's going to be on a future app. I also want to fight with you about Tim Walz in a future app. But your ADHD has transitioned us nicely into the other big topic of the day. I don't know if people read the FT. It's a very serious news outlet. I don't know if our audience are FT people. But FT basically has a study that's out here that says teenagers, their science, reading, and maths. They're British, so they say maths. Plural instead of just math. Their math scores all down, numeracy and literacy down, trouble learning new things up, difficulty thinking and concentrating up, decline of reading almost every day way down, hardly ever read way up. 50% of teenagers hardly ever read. That's pretty concerning. I mean, I think if the techno feudalists are going to take over, this is a pretty ripe audience for that. I don't know. Why don't your friends read?
It is the Republican dream. This is what Republicans in America want, and it's what they have wanted. Everybody getting dumber, everybody learning less, and everybody being less engaged with the world around them so we could be isolated, so we can ask less questions, and so we can all work in an Amazon warehouse one day. This is what they want. Now, I personally think social media is the number one contributor to young people reading less. It's interesting because we spent so much time indoors during the pandemic. You think we would have cracked open a fucking book here and there, but we're reading less. One thing that I want to briefly point out that I think makes us read less is the curriculum in high schools. I think that the books that they have us read in high school are so fucking boring and laborious that reading isn't that fun to us after our high school curriculum. Like before high school, I used to read for leisure pretty much every day. I kind of always carried a book with me. But then the shit that we had to read for class in high school made me fucking hate reading. And I didn't pick up books again for like 5 years.
Like what were some of the terrible books they made you read in high school?
I don't even necessarily think they're terrible books. I just think they aren't books that are good for developing positive skills as a reader, because reading is like exercising. You have to do it to get better at it. You have to get your reading muscles exercised. So stuff like Victor Hugo's Les Misérables, which I read sophomore year, was an absolute fucking bore to get through. Stuff like Catcher in the Rye, a book that I read when I was 22. And I said,
Catcher in the Rye is pretty readable.
Not at the age that I read it. And mind you, I have ADHD and stuff, but I'm a pretty good reader at this point. And I read Catcher in the Rye when I'm 22. And I said, no wonder this is one of the great American novels. But when I was 15, I had a really hard time with it. Holden Caulfield's inner monologue happens to be exactly like mine and exactly like the inner monologue I have today, where everybody's a phony and I'm a victim of everything. But I wasn't able to connect to that at that age. So listen, I do think social media is the biggest culprit here for why we aren't reading. I think that us not reading is going to make us even more susceptible to the misinformation campaigns and stuff like getting your news from the Andrew Tates of the world on TikTok. But I will add, I think that high school curriculums, I mean, this doesn't matter because the public school system is getting dismantled. So, you know, it's about to be all charter schools that are making you read Mein Kampf in a positive way. But I do think we would benefit from students being given better and more fun and engaging shit to read.
Producer Sebastian said he loved the abridged version of Les Mis, but you know, gays. Yeah, there's some bad books. I had to read some bad ones. Stein, I mean, you know, some of the stuff is tough as a high school student. I guess I will say, like, because I, like, as a tweener, as a geriatric millennial, like, I lived before phones, like, for a little while in high school. And so I, like, I can now see how much worse my reading is. Like, I find myself, like, I'm trying to read The Deluge right now, which is like 800 and something pages. I have no idea why I took on this project, but I find myself after like four pages, you know, wanting to see what's happening on Instagram. And that's a bad habit. But I do wonder, since like you guys were of this, like, you probably don't even really, like, do you notice your brain power declining, I guess, is my question, being broken by social media, or do you not even notice it?
I think I notice my brain power declining the worse the news gets. I think that genuinely makes us worse at thinking, because we have to process a certain amount of things that are really tough to process. So when Trump won, I think my mind dulled itself a little bit, because the harder I thought, the more upset I got. When COVID happened, my anxiety is so fucking bad. My anxiety as a person, and this is why I'm sort of a hard touchstone for stuff like this, because whether or not Gen Z was going to shit, I would still have these mental health issues. But my anxiety is so bad that I sort of condition myself to think less about certain things. It doesn't fucking work, but I try. So I think that part of the reason we're getting smooth brained is the truth and information are kind of the Wild West right now. And these social media algorithms are programming us to think one sentence at a time, which is why many of the articles I cite when I'm talking about the news, I actually haven't read. I just read the title of the article. And it's a serious problem, and it's only getting worse. And that's really all I have to say about the matter.
I have one more question. So you're gonna have to come up with one more thing to say about the matter, because like, this is a very big topic of conversation among the millennial dads. Like, not only are we aware that we're making ourselves dumber through social media, that we've seen a decline in our own focus and brain power, but that we notice that that younger people are even stupider and have less attention span than we do. And so I'm wondering, my question is like a boiling frogs question. Like, do you guys discuss this? Like, do you feel like you're dumber, or do you look at us and say, like, these old fucks, like, think we're dumber, but we're actually smarter because our brains, like, we've just like pinky in the brained ourselves by getting so much information from the internet at the beginning at age 7.
I think the pendulum is just swinging farther. I think that the young people who are intelligent are getting more intelligent because there's more access to information, and we're able to, I say we as if I'm one of the intelligent ones. I don't identify. I think I'm right in between. I think I'm I think I'm the median.
Right, the meaty part of the bell curve. That's right where you want to be.
The intelligent young people who I know are, in my opinion, more intelligent than they would have been in previous generations, because there's more access to information about the world. And I think the dumber ones are dumber.
The real smart ones, like the big balls is of the world.
Yeah, the Doge kids who are flying to California to turn on more water and failing spectacularly. But I do think we do talk about it in the circles of people I'm in that are my age. We talk about how we're getting a little more smooth brained and how we're all kind of worse at processing information. But we don't talk about it in a very constructive way. We talk about it in this doomer-esque, like, yeah, we're dumber now, it sucks, oh well, change the subject way. I have those conversations plenty. Is like, hey, have you noticed that we are all getting worse at thinking with time? Like, I truly believe my brain power had a higher capacity when I was 15 than it does now. And I'm not proud to admit that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know if my brain power had a higher capacity, but I certainly was able to focus on things longer. Like, there's no doubt about it that my ability to focus has deteriorated significantly.
And with that, all we can say is tune in Saturday for an exclusive interview that's going to be very exciting. And then next week, Tim and I are going to be talking about whatever terrible, giant, fascist thing happens in the next 7 days.
So fun. See you then.
Sunday
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.